Welcome to the Boulderfly Podcast, where we interview the people shaping the future in and from Boulder. We're here with a film director, Josh Bones Murphy, whose latest film, Purple Mountains, explores the political divisiveness around climate change through the professional snowboarder and mountaineer, Jeremy Jones, who kind of investigates this issue. Josh, thank you for being available. And I guess I should add that Boulder Zone Protect Our Winters is one of the lead sponsors of the film. So a shout out to them. How'd you get involved with the film?
Good question. There's a long answer to that and a shorter answer to that. I came to filmmaking 20 years ago as a professional skier. And I lived in Tahoe area, and when I transitioned out of competition and into filmmaking, I was making a film in Alaska, and the guy who was living next door while we were there for a month or so was Jeremy. And so we got to be friends in Haines, Alaska, 20 years ago this winter, actually. And then our children were in school together, and we became kind of friendly at that level, and then he asked me if I would help him years ago on a film that Teton Gravity Research did called Generations, which was kind of about climate issues as well. Before I was in film, I was a scientist, and I was in the science field, and so I try to use that background as both kind of a scientist and an athlete to put those two together when I have the chance to. And so all these years later, Jeremy and I had seen each other over, like, you know, the Christmas holiday, and he said, "Hey, I've got this film I want to talk to you about." He had seen the film I had done called Artificial for Patagonia, which had been, so that Yvonne Chouinard had commissioned us to do the film and asked me to make the film because my specific area of science that I had studied was fisheries biology, which was kind of a funny merging of his interests and my background. And Jeremy really liked in that film how we gave all sides a voice, and we respected what the aspirational side was and for what the practice.
That's what I want to talk to you about, and that's what made me interested in really be able to have a conversation with you about this. Because one, the fact that you're a scientist is really good, because I want to get a little bit scientific with this, and then also the fact that of trying to find where the conflict arises and, like, at the touch points, and where there's overlap and where there's resolution. And I know in the film you all explore that, but where do you see where's the biggest disconnect like on the science, if we're discussing science? And I know that there's, like, there's a pretty majority of scientists, like, say one thing, but where's the most intense coming at from different angles on the science side?
Yeah, I think it's important to point out too that when you'll notice in Purple Mountains that we didn't really belabor the science, because we just assume that this science is settled. Like 97% and 99% of published scientists say that. So we were like, well, let's not just regurgitate science here. Yeah. Let's talk about belief systems, right? Yeah. And I think that's really where we focused, was belief systems. And so we started to kind of dive deeper into, why do people believe or disbelieve? And that has a lot to do with this thing we call identity politics. And identity politics says, if you're a conservative, you're supposed to believe this. If you're a progressive, you're supposed to believe that. And we all fall on these camps, right? I mean, we all wear the hats and the belt buckles and the brand of jeans or the shirt. I mean, we all have badges, if you will, that tell other people who our tribe is. And so what we began to realize was that, really, you know, when we dove into the conservative ideology, knowing that white male conservatives are five times as likely to disbelieve climate science. And we said, well, why is that? Why is that? And we started to recognize that this was something that was created at the top, because white male conservatives were in the 1970s, when Nixon was in power as a Republican president, behind him making the Clean Air, Clean Water Acts, the Endangered Species Act, and creating the EPA. But now 50 years later, that same group of people is not behind the idea. So why is that? Mm-hmm. And one of the things we found was that there are talking points that are created within various political parties that people ascribe to. And the petrochemical companies that have been funding candidates for quite some time and making sure that candidates speak about certain things and not about other things have been very, very good at using their media outlets and their propaganda, if you want to use that term, to say to people, this is what you're supposed to believe as a conservative.
So where,
and that's what where, we started where, to see that.
Where do you see the most compelling evidence to puncture that some of those toxic points and to pierce through? Because like I get what you're saying. That's really a powerful idea of the beliefs we all ascribe to and like where we fall into. But where would you say is the point at which, hey, this is how you see the light. This is like how we get to the basics of talking about something as established fact.
Well, I think that where you find the fact is in the real people, not the talking heads. And that's what we try to do in the film, which was that the people in Elko, Nevada were very much in tune with what Jeremy was saying, believing, and asking of them. And he kept saying, well, if you believe that too, if you believe that you want clean air and clean water and a healthy planet for your children, and I do, how are we not believing this?
Yes.
And it kept coming back to, well, that's a liberal thing, and I'm not liberal. Uh-huh. And that's what we were kind of amazed by, which was like, wait a minute. Environment should not be something that is polarized because it affects all of us. You know, somebody's individual right to carry a firearm is their choice. Mm-hmm. That's their choice. That's a Second Amendment. You can choose to do it or not, right? But if I pollute my backyard, which runs into your backyard, that's different.
Yep.
And if I smoke on a plane and you're sitting right behind me, that's different.
Yep.
And so environment is a place that we should be able to say, can we please leave these stereotypes, these political tropes,
yep,
and find common ground? And environment should be one that we can, because I agree that I don't know anybody that says I want a less healthy planet for my child.
Yep. Yep.
It doesn't happen.
Yep.
It's just that some people say, well, then that means government control, so or that means lack of.
And I'm asking, you know, the question in various ways, but where do you see, given the experience and diving in and thinking about it and talking to a lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of stuff's on the cutting room floor, where do you see the possibility for rapprochement here on the issue and finding the common ground? Because I get what you mean. It's in the human, and like a lot of the times, the same. The interests are the same, but the perspective is so different that they end up in different places.
Right. I think one of the things that we found was that, and we noted this in the film as well, is that if there was a candidate who could be, in this case, conservative, but still believes in principles of conservation and environmental protection, mm-hmm, that would give other people a voice, mm-hmm, that want to be conservative fiscally, mm-hmm, or have different views of family values or gender roles or whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. That great. But mm-hmm, why can't that same person then say, and we need to protect the environment? Mm-hmm. And until that happens, when people like Danny Coe, who is a hard rock miner who we went snowboarding with in Nevada, mm-hmm, he can't bring himself to vote for the progressive candidate that stands for that.
Yep.
But he could vote and would vote for somebody that's conservative and stands for that. So that's where I think we can actually find some room to grow here. Mm-hmm. But the conservative ideology and the Republican Party has rallied around this anti-environment, to some extent anti-science, anti-regulation, mm-hmm, which is what they believe the end result is. But, mm-hmm, you know, there are all sorts of regulations that are in place already, and environment is a place where government plays a role, because if you ask industry to, you know, police itself, it normally does not work. There needs to be a referee on the playing field to say, no, red card, you're out.
Yeah.
And that's what government's supposed to do, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's tricky. It comes back to that challenge of politics that in a lot of ways, in a lot of different issues, it's like you stack up all the issues of relative importance to people, and you try to find the candidate that matches it. Some of them are held more deeply than others, and you're just like, well, I guess you end up with the divide, the persistent divide.
Yeah, and we need to look no further than the mask debate right now, which, you know, has been blown up into this thing where masks are to some an overreach of government control and to others a very realistic and easy public health measure. Yeah. But it's become in an instant a politicized argument when the science says clearly what the reality is. But there are some people that just don't choose to ascribe to that science because it doesn't fit that. And that's where we are. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary part. I mean, if we can't even look out for our own health from a virus, how do we do so from environmental issues?
Totally. So I guess, how do we not end up in the same place? Because that's what this film highlighted this in some of the solutions, but how do we, or some of the ways this could work, but how, what do you, I mean, if diving in a specific issue, like what do you realistically, like I just, like I, yeah. In theory, it's easy to talk about. It's like, but do you see a realistic way to actually come to a common understanding and like push for some of these things that need to happen to address the climate and environment?
It's a very, very good question. And I feel like this is a muted response, but I often say that it begins with listening. Yeah. And what we were able to do in the film was have Jeremy listen to the people, not attack them, and try to understand why they believe that so we could engage. And, you know, at the end of it, Danny's like, I need to do more work on climate change and the environment. Mm-hmm. From one day spending with him in the mountains, mm-hmm. and it was a personal engagement where we said, let's talk about these things. And mm-hmm. and that's the thing, and I've heard Jeremy say this multiple times, and he's right. The companies, the industries that would prefer us not to talk are winning because we're not talking.
Yeah.
And when we don't talk to one another, there is no way to get through. There's no way to move past
it's
our
so
differences.
It's so hard I know where you're going, and this is somewhat we try to do on a local level, is foster productive, honest conversations without the bias in part. But it's so hard now. It's so divisive now.
Jeremy has said, he said to me when we were driving back from Elko, he's like, you know, I have been on top of some of the heaviest peaks in the world, and I was not as afraid as I was going to Elko to talk to those people. Hmm. Hmm. He said, I was terrified because, just as you say, it's so difficult. It really takes us to a place emotionally that we don't want to go to.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Jeremy's ability to control his emotion on a peak before descending it, he's good with that. But controlling the emotions when interacting with somebody else about such a charged topic, he's not good at
it. Well, you can see it in his face in parts of the film, you know, it's like where the people are.
Yeah.
And I know you put those in there probably on purpose because it shows like, he's like, you know, you could see it, you could almost hear what he's thinking. And so so moving this forward okay. The question I want to ask is, have you been able to get this film seen by a large audience that wasn't already bought into it, you know, the idea of climate change and supporting environmentalism? Because that's a big challenge.
Big challenge. Big challenge. In fact, we, from the get-go, when we were designing the impact campaign, which is the you could call it marketing to people to make change instead of just marketing to anywhere. Like with the impact, we try to say to people, in this case, go vote, right? But the question is, who are we saying go vote? And who are we saying watch the film so you can have a perspective on this? And one of the things that we've been doing is promoting it in purple states and purple counties. Mm. And so Protect Our Winters has delineated certain areas of the country, which is why the film became Purple Mountains, because, yep, of course, the political purple places where we actually have the opportunity to get something done. We're not going to, it's not worth doing in a totally blue part of a state because they're already on board. It's not worth doing in a totally red part of the state because they're going to just say, no way. Mm-hmm. But in these purple parts, we have an opportunity because they could kind of be swayed and they're open to the ideas. And so we've been trying to have both screenings, which were meant to be in-person screenings. Now they're digital screenings with, yeah, Q&A with Jeremy or Jeremy and myself. But then also just advertising on social media where we're saying, hey, instead of advertising to everybody,
yeah,
let's make sure that we show people in purple counties, in purple states,
yeah,
the trailer, and get them to engage. And hopefully they watch the film and hopefully
what's
they get
the
involved and say, hey,
some of these communities that maybe like you say, that maybe on the other side of the political spectrum, but that, or on the or on the conservative political spectrum, should say, and that maybe kind of reach them with the film, because it's really once again it's hard.
It's been remarkably positive, because there was two things we thought when we finished the film. We were like, okay, we know the haters are going to hate on this, but Jeremy was like, I wonder if I just personally, because he hates conflict, was I pushing hard enough, and are the liberals going to like attack me because I wasn't throwing chairs at him? And I said, no, that's the film. The film is really showing that you do better when you find commonality. And so we haven't heard anything from people on the left saying, you didn't throw a chair and tell them they're wrong and dispute them and point out that everything they're saying is complete hogwash. And we're not hearing people on the conservative side say, this is BS. In fact, quite the contrary. They're saying, thank you for having the strength to listen. And thank you for treating people with different ideas as thoughtful still. Mm-hmm. And that's what's making it land. In fact, Jeremy had a guy that came up to him the other day and just said, hey, I saw your film. I'm from Ohio. I believe in what you stand for. I've been trying to talk to my parents, my family about it. They won't listen. I sent them the film. We're talking about this now. They want to know more. Mm-hmm. And that for us is, that's more important than a million other views. Mm-hmm. The fact that somebody is engaging and it's giving them the tools to do that, so, that's what we're after.
Yep. So what's the most, the clearest fact that's easy to point to that shows evidence of climate change that you found? Was it the snow cover? I mean, I know that was one part in the film where it's like the snow cover year over year has just dropped every year for the last, I don't know, 50, something like that. Is that one, or which one would you point to?
Well, one we can see right what's happening right now, which is that there are more Atlantic hurricanes this year than ever. This is a record-setting year because the Earth is warming. Hurricanes are made by warm currents in the ocean and the air colliding. That's what starts them spinning. And then the twisting of the Earth, the orbit of the Earth, the Coriolis effect, it's called, starts spinning that vortex. But that vortex doesn't happen unless you have extremes in heat. And we are now watching it happen in real time. We are on Hurricane Delta that's just about to hit the United States. That means we've gone all the way from A to, I believe it's W, XYZ they don't use, and then they go back to Alpha, Beta, Charlie, Delta, Echo, Gamma, right? Yep, so it's we've gone through the whole alphabet. So that's one thing I say. It's like, just look at that, mm-hmm. right? Because you can certainly look at the snow cover data that's in the film. But the other people would point to the wildfires in not only the United States, but in Australia. I mean, there are things that are happening around us that are proof positive. And then you can go look at the data of all of the different temperature sensors and ice cores and sediment cores. And it keeps pointing the same way. But people keep saying, yeah, but I don't believe.
Yeah, it's part of the natural fluctuation of the climate.
Yeah, I mean, not to be, overly dramatic, but there is more evidence that the climate is changing and the humans are impacting it than there is that there is a God. Yeah. We can point to
speaking of turning off conservatives.
No, but I mean, it's you're exactly right. Yeah. But some of this, we do believe certain things. Right, they're deeply held, and that's okay. I don't challenge that, but I also say, how can you believe one thing with no proof and not believe the other thing with proof?
Yeah, and then you get into the, which is a different question there, and of course a different analysis, but like accepting science and like where that comes in and that the thought processes that lead to that. We'll wrap it here. Thanks for the time, Josh. This was an interesting conversation. It's like these topics are so deep and like they touch so many different levels of not only of what's happening now and the issues, but also in politics and like and just the way humans behave. I feel like this is best done over like a campfire and maybe lots of beers.
You're exactly right. And that's why we wanted to take take people out into the environment and talk. And, you know, that's how Jeremy connects with people. And that's how podcasts work, because we're able to share these ideas. But the one thing I would ask for people listening to this podcast and more globally, it's like, talk, listen. You can't have a conversation without listening. Sometimes people think conversations are all talking, and I say, totally wrong. Conversations about listening. And if we can do that better, I think we might have a chance to find more common ground. I hope.
Well, let's hope. Yeah, I agree. We can end it there. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much. All right.
Bye.